Joining us now on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. You can see his pretty, pretty mug right there on X and on YouTube at WI Sports Radio. He is Jacob Westendorf, Packers on SI. Follow him on X at Jacob Westendorf. Jacob, as always, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. It's that time of year again, so let's get rolling.
Yeah, getting close to the draft. I want to go back to what we were talking about in the first segment, but before I do that, I want to oblige a listener that asked, put in a request. You know, like you listen to a music station, Jacob, back in the day when there were actually jocks in the studios on all shows. Now they're all not that way, but back in the day, you call and be like, hey, I'd like to listen to Top of the World by Van Halen. Can you play it for me? And okay, yeah, right, we put it in. So I kind of like to do that sometimes if people have a request. So this is from the 920 on the Nicolet LaTaca text line. Can you call out my friend Joel, listening to WNFL in Green Bay, who just texted me that he thinks the Packers are shopping Jordan Love and signing Malik Willis? Jacob Westendorf, all you, buddy.
No. No, like, listen, kudos to Malik Willis for what he's done, everything like that. Jordan Love's an MVP candidate. Malik Willis has never had to prepare week in, week out to be a starter since coming to Green Bay. I hate having this conversation because it sounds like I'm bashing Malik Willis. I'm not trying to do that. It's a great story. Jordan Love's a better player. He's a better quarterback. And even if they wanted to do that, if there was some world that they wanted to do that, financially, they cannot. Like, it's not something that can't. It doesn't matter if a team offers you their next 27 first-round picks. Like, they would have to cut down basically the rest of the team and start from scratch. And this team shouldn't do that, can't do that, will not do that. So, no, they're not changing quarterbacks, and they should not.
Who has the higher ceiling?
Jordan Love. Between those two?
Yeah, between Malik Willis and Jordan Love, who has higher ceiling? Yes.
Jordan Love, the guy who was an MVP candidate last year. Like, Malik Willis was almost out of the, like, dead serious. If Green Bay doesn't trade for Malik Willis, he may not be in the NFL right now. Because he was traded for a seventh-round pick. If he's not traded for, Tennessee cuts him. He ends up on the practice squad somewhere, most likely, and could have bounced out of the league if he ended up in the wrong situation at that point. Malik Willis has done some great things. I think he'll be fine.
And now he's going to make like $30 to $35 million a year.
Correct. And that's fine. He's earned that. That's what the scarcity of quarterback play does in these situations. But we are also talking about a guy who, like, anytime we're talking about Malik Willis, we're saying he needs to be in the right situation, needs to be in the right situation. Yeah. Jordan Love is situation proof. Like, they are able to do things without needing the perfect situation around him.
Talk with Jacob Westendorf, Packers on SI. Follow him on X, Jacob Westendorf, joining us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily. In the first segment of the show, we read some comments because we didn't have the audio yet from our guy, Brian Gutekunst. He was asked about the draft process. You don't have one. Does it change anything? And he went on to say that no, nothing's changed. In fact, we've already set up interviews with top 20 potential guys in the first round, to which I asked, would you be for or against the Packers trading even more picks to try to get back into the first round here for a specific player? Now, I will tell you that almost every other year of my life, I would be like, hell yes, go get whoever you got to get. This year, however, I don't feel like I'm in that boat because you don't have a one next year either. I feel like this year I'm more in the boat of I'm okay if they trade back in the second to get some more draft picks because I think they have more than one hole that they have to fill here.
Yeah, I think so too. It would have to be like the perfect player. You know, if Arvell Reese from Ohio State for some reason drops.
Yeah, that's it. How does that happen?
I don't know. Miles Jack happened once, and it was a medical issue in which Green Bay probably not in the business of doing the medical Correct. Stuff anyways. So you put all that together. Yeah, I'm with you. I think that there's more things that they need to be able to do, both now and in the future. Like, all three of their top cornerbacks this season, Carrington Valentine, Keyshawn Nixon, are on actual expiring deals, and Nate Hobbs is on what is, in essence, an expiring deal. If he's in Green Bay, next year is probably his last year here. So those are your top three corners. Like, they need rookie contracts in that room, if nothing else, for depth. That doesn't even get to the fact that they need to upgrade that position. They need guys that can just kind of fill out the back of a room in case all of those guys are gone, which I kind of suspect would be the case after this season.
All right, so let's talk about your piece. Speaking of cornerback, you've got guys that potential second-round picks for the Packers that may be there for the Packers, that may be able to come in and start right away in week one, maybe for this Packers team or somewhere along that line. Chris Johnson, the corner out of San Diego State. Tell us about him.
Yeah, he's kind the darling right now, if you will. The problem I think you're going to end up running into is like people just discovered, quote unquote, him late. So they're going to talk about him as a second round pick. If he has a big week in Indianapolis, right now he's ranked 46th on the consensus board, which means like people kind of think he could fall into Green Bay's range, but he's moving up those boards. There are people starting to mock him in the first round. But if he's able to play, Justin Mello from our NFL draft on SI called him, quote, an excellent schematic fit. So from that standpoint, that's always a positive. Instead of having to put in somebody who you don't think fits a new scheme, if they can fit in that way, that's something you can do. But his own corner, solid tackler, and he has ball skills, which is something that Green Bay secondary does not have. You know, they had one interception from their cornerback group last season, two if you include the playoffs, with Carrington Valentine and Keyshawn Nixon each getting one apiece. But that's the guy who I think that everybody's kind of in on, if you will, right now. That'll probably change once it – and if and when it becomes obvious that Green Bay is not going to be able to draft him without a significant move up in the second round.
I really hope NFL teams aren't like us fans and media members that do mock drafts, because it just cracks me up how an entire college football season is done. This dude hasn't played a game in weeks, months, or whatever, and now all of a sudden, oh, he may be a first-round pick, even though we all think he's a late second-round pick. That all could change here in the next month, and all of a sudden he's a first-round pick. It literally drives me nuts, because if I'm an NFL team, if I don't have him in the first round right now, after watching film, being at games, talking to him, having the discussions, all of that, and essentially he's moving up because of a 40 time or a hand size or how long his arms are, or he interviewed well, and now he's moving up a full round. Like, I don't know. Like, I question the entire process, I guess, at the end of the day, Jacob.
Yeah, I don't think it works quite that way. I think for the most part, guys that are going to be picked that high were guys that were going to be picked that high. Anyways, there's a couple here or there, right, that might have something like that. And sometimes, I mean, these are humans doing this process.
Don't
too.
You remember Savage? Remember when he came up, when that Packer took him in the first round? He was like in the second round, I want to say, like 2 weeks before and leading up to the draft. Everybody's like, oh, he's flying up the draft boards. Here he comes. We'll see who takes him. And the Packers ended up being the team that took him.
Yeah, and had they not done it, it would have been the Baltimore Ravens. And Brian Gutekunst basically admitted as much during his post-presser when he was talking about Darnell Savage.
He probably would have had a better career.
I'm also curious what Darnell Savage's career looks like if Mike Pettine stays as the defensive coordinator for his tenure here. But I mean, that's kind of how this whole process works, right? Is you're picking guys and hoping they're scheme versatile and not scheme dependent. And that's not the case of what happened with Darnell Savage. But kind of like I mentioned, I think whoever is the guys that end up picked where they get picked, that's usually where they're going to end up. So I think that that's just us as a collective from the outside kind of catching up to everything that people already kind of know.
So I'm with Jacob Westendorf, Packers on SI. Follow him on X at Jacob Westendorf. Great piece on potential second-round guys that could be starters for the Packers. Another corner, this one from ASU, Abney the Second. What say you about Keith Abney the Second?
Like the numbers, you know, early, he's competitive. Two interceptions, 12 pass breakups, only a lot of passer rating of 46.1. The competitiveness and the ball skills or something like that. The Packers, that position in general is competitive by its very nature. Carrington Valentine and Keyshawn Nixon are very competitive players, maybe not the most skilled or players that could be like top end players at that position. So he's somebody that's interesting to me as well. That's who Justin actually took for Green Bay in his pre-combine mock draft. And you have to find the ones this year. It's tougher this year without a first-round pick. Most people do one-rounders.
Yep.
And with those one-rounders like that, Green Bay's not in it. So you got to find somebody who is nice enough to throw in, oh, this team without a first-round pick, so the Colts, the Packers, and I think one other.
Just go find Chad Ryder at NFL.com. He does a million rounds throughout the entire offseason. Yep.
Yeah, kudos to those guys. I've tried to write those in the past, and I end up giving up in like the middle of the second round because I'm just like, I'm out of names.
Right.
Just like
that, you know,
I end up putting like I drafted the same guy four times for three different teams and drafted one guy twice for the same team.
Yeah, right. It happens. The other part of this now, again, if you go look at Jacob Westendorf's piece, we're not going to go over all these. He's got a million guys on there. He's got corners. He's got offensive linemen. But realistically, I want a big fat guy. I mean, that's what I want on the defensive line. And every time I see a player with the team of Georgia next to him on defense, I stop because that's what we like to do in Green Bay is draft Georgia defensive people. Christian Miller, defensive guy, that would make sense for the Packers.
Yeah, former teammate of Nazir Stackhouse and Warren Brinson. And like I said, the only team maybe that likes drafting Georgia guys more than the Packers is the Philadelphia Eagles. So, I mean, that's something that could be like that. He's a nose tackle, which is something the Packers definitely need. They need that big guy in the middle that can kind of help with Colby Wooden, who did some nice things last year for them, but he wore down by the end of the season. And, you know, when you get the more bodies that Green Bay can get that are quality in that defensive line room, the better. Because by the end of the year, Sparky, you could have told me that it was you and I playing defensive tackle instead of Jonathan Ford. And so, God bless those guys, but I wouldn't have known the difference. Like, just the impact from those players was just so minimal. And that's another position where I think Devontae Wyatt is good. I think Colby Wooden can be a nice role player. I don't know what the deal with Carl Brooks is. And beyond that, it's a lot of unknown, you know? So when you put all of that together, there's a lot of question marks in that room. That could be another position where, I mean, Green Bay has a limited amount of capital, free agency and draft capital, but do they spend the precious few free agent dollars they have on a guy like that and try and add one in the draft? Or do they do that at corner, or what do they do with any of those things? So I'm with you, though. I think defensive line coming into the offseason, I thought that was the biggest need that Green Bay had, even including cornerback and offensive line. I think those three are the biggest one when you kind of lump them all together. And honestly, I think you could order any of them 1 to 3 any way you want to, and I won't argue with you too much. But they need some more quality up front, because that was one of the big reasons their defense fell apart in the fourth quarters at the end of last year, because they just didn't have enough quality bodies on the defensive front.
So let's switch to the other side of the line. Let's talk about that center position right now, because number one, the guy from Baltimore is not going to be available. It sounds like Eric DaCosta, the GM, said they're going to make him the highest paid center. Okay, so he's off the board. Got one other potential starter, and then after that, there's nothing there at the center position from a free agency perspective. Then you look internally at what you have. Well, there's a good chance Ryan signs somewhere else and could get a pretty good deal. Fine. And then you have Monk. What are your other options? What are your other options at center going forward here? I mean, that's the thing. Like, you're going to start a rookie, or are you going to sign a guard and try and convert him to center, you know, in training camp? They don't have a lot of options. It does not appear at the center position, because nobody expects them to bring back Elgton Jenkins.
No, and that's kind of the part where it's interesting, because they didn't normally, the Packers, you know, when they draft for a year or two in advance, they normally have someone in the stable that can play center. But I think they've made it clear over, you know, the last year, 2 years that Jacob Monk's been on the roster, they don't think much of him. They've kind of not given him an opportunity when that opportunity's persisted. Sean Ryan, anytime he's been in the lineup, they've tried to find a way to get him out of the lineup. So it's not like they've been trying to get that by choice. I don't know what they're going to do at that position, because you're right. They're not. I don't think they're bringing back Jenkins. I would not bring back Sean Ryan for the contract he's likely going to get. But do you want to start a rookie? This is a class where, like, Brian Parker is one of the top center prospects, and he's a guy who would have to move. He's a convert from tackle to center. So if that's what you're doing, now you're asking for some growing pains for a guy changing positions and learning the NFL game. The best center prospect is Connor Liu, who is on my list from Auburn, but he's coming off a torn ACL, so that's an injury situation as well. Maybe this is where Green Bay's on the trade market, trying to find something like that. They're not going to be able – I don't know that they would have been in the market for Linderbaum anyways, even if he does hit the market, just because I think 31 other teams are probably going to try and find a way to get him as well. Cade Mays is a name. Maybe there's a center who gets released from another team, and that's the route they have to go. So it's a guy who's not readily available, or can they work? I don't think they're going to be able to work out like this pay cut to the point where they're going to be comfortable with, hey, can they cut Elgton Jenkins's, you know, salary cap number down to like $8 million, which is about $12 million lower than what it is now. Why would Jenkins do that? They could just try and find something better on the open market. But there's not a lot of options, and the options that are there, if it's not Linderbaum, not a lot of them are very good.
No, not a lot of them at all. Check out Jacob Westendorf's work. Great stuff. Packers on SI. Follow him on X at Jacob Westendorf. I appreciate you coming on, man, as always.
Thanks, Sparky. We'll talk again.
Take care. There he is, Jacob Westendorf, joining us right there on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all.